2 Timothy chapter number 3. As we go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters, proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers, those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." I want to preach tonight, if God will be my help for just a few minutes, on a form or a fashion. A form or a fashion. As we look at this and we see it, he says, he said, "This know also." So he's saying we need something that we need to know. And then he goes on that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So he wanted us to know this, and he was telling young Timothy this, that in the last days, perilous times would come. And then he lays out in verses 2, 3, and 4 what those perilous times will look like. He said there'll be times when men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we're seeing that. He said there'll be times when people would be covetous, wanting everything that they can and everything that they can get. And we're seeing that. He said there'd be boasters, and he said they'd be proud. He said there'd be blasphemers, blaspheming the very God whom we serve. He said there'd be disobedience to parents. And we're seeing that. I've never seen a time that I've ever lived in when juvenile delinquency is so high because our children are disobedient to their parents. They're unthankful and they're unholy. God said it'd be like that. He said they're without natural affections. Have you ever seen the time when women can just desert their babies and they don't really care and they're not willing to work to keep their families together? He said they're truth breakers and false accusers. And we see that. Everywhere we look, if we ain't careful, people are accusing somebody else and trying to make themselves look better. He said they're incontinent. In other words, they have no restraint. And we're seeing that. We're living that right now. There's no restraint anywhere. People are doing whatever they feel like doing and not ashamed of it. They're not ashamed to do it out in the street and do it openly. Amen. He said they're fierce and despisers of those that are good. Amen. Have you ever seen a time when people that try to do good, people hate them for doing good? Who would have ever thought in the United States of America that we could be hated for trying to do good? Amen. They're talking about shutting the churches down and taking away our tax-exempt status because we're doing too much good. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Amen. The social system cannot attain to everything that needs to be done, but the church has always filled in that gap and done those things for people that there's no way that the government can do it all. But the church has always been that they could call upon that would step up during times of tragedy, emergencies, and fill in the gap. Because that's the way God designed us to do. Amen. But said there'd be time when there'd be people that would be despisers of those that are good. He said they'd be traitors and they'd be heady and high-minded. They'd be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So we see in the days of perilous times, we could say today that we're living in perilous times. Amen. All these things that we read and you're hearing that Paul was telling young Timothy back so many, many years ago are coming to pass right now in the day and hour that we live, you and I. Amen. But Paul tells us here how come this is such a situation. He said what caused it to be this way is in verse number 5. He said they having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he said such as this, amen, having a form and denying the power of God. He said we need to turn away from. Said we need to flee from it. He said we need to run away. Amen. So we see this and we know what a form is. A form is a type of something and we see it even in religion today. Amen. I want to say religion has sent a lot of people to hell. Amen. Religion has sent a lot of people to hell because of the because we have turned our focus off the true gospel, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of all, to all the other aspects that we've added into it. Kind of as the Pharisees did, they had certain things that was in the law and they began to add to the law to none effect. Amen. To try to show themselves a little bigger than their fellow man. But we see tonight, he's telling young Timothy here, he said not to just have a form of godliness. That form is a type of godliness. Praise God, we have the real thing. We don't need a type of godliness when we have godliness in Christ Jesus the Lord. And we have the Holy Spirit of God to minister to our hearts and give us tonight that we need. If we go to a form of godliness, praise God, we can count it just as a fashion. A fashion, something that you look upon, something you can see. Amen. That's what a lot of people's wanting. They're wanting to see something they can look upon, something they can see, something that tickles their fancy, if you will. Something that'll make them feel better about themselves. But Paul said, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come, and we'll see all the adversity that's coming at God's people. And it's been directed at God Almighty Himself. And we need to realize that a form won't work. I told you a few weeks ago, a fellow told me that he didn't really like formal religion. Amen. And I've been thinking about that a whole lot, and I see a lot of formal religion that I really don't like either. Amen. If we ain't careful, we program everything to such an extent that we program God out of it. Now, I know we're supposed to do, the Bible says, Brother Jeff, we do everything decent and in order. And that's biblical. But if we ain't really careful, we have a form and a fashion, and we get in such a rut with our form and our fashion, that our form and our fashion takes precedence, and we leave God out. Sister so-and-so, or brother such-and-such, if you get away, if you deviate from the program just a little bit, they get all tore up. Amen. He said, well, you know, that's not in the program. Amen. You know what happens if we ain't careful, if we get out of the program just a little bit, it might keep somebody from getting down to the steakhouse after church. It might cut in on their socializing just a little bit. But praise God, I'm saying, he said, listen, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, he said, from such, turn away. Praise God. He said, preacher, what should we be looking for? We should get away from a form and a fashion, a formal religion, and we should do like the Bible says, and we should seek a pure religion, a religion that's undefiled, a religion that'll work. Praise God, and give us hope in God. Amen. You said, well, Pastor, what is pure religion? I'm glad you asked. Look at James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. The Bible says this in verse number 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now James, the beloved, he's getting ready to tell us what pure religion is. He said to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Amen? He said, be a help where you can. You say, preacher, why would we do that? Because we have brotherly love in our hearts. We are the church of Philadelphia, young'uns. We are the church of brotherly love. We're the church that's supposed to be there for one another, care for one another, love one another, help one another. Amen. He said, he said to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. He said, that's what pure religion is. Amen. He said, pure religion, it shows all the love of Christ. Amen. It shows all, everybody, to see the love of Christ in you and me. He said, that's what pure religion is. He said, that's what pure religion does. It shows the love of Christ in us. I wonder sometimes how much love we have in us and if it's truly the love of Christ. Amen. If Christ loved us so much that He gave Himself for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he said we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And then he said even better, he said, we should love our neighbor. He said, as I have loved you. He loved me and you unconditionally. He loved us with a great love, with an agape love, a godly love, praise the Lord. That's how he loved me and you. So a pure religion, praise God, it shows everyone, praise God, a love of Christ. Not only does it show a love of Christ, but it also shows a commitment to Christ. Amen? It shows a commitment to Christ. To do those things, praise God, that will help us to be a help to somebody else, but it also helps us to stay unspotted before the world. It helps you and me to stay clean and undefiled in this present world in which we live. Amen, praise God. God expects that of us. You say, well, preacher, I'm okay. I'm good to go. I got saved a long time ago. And I don't worry about where I go, what I say, or what I do. Well, bless your heart, son. You need a recount. Yeah. Amen. We all should be concerned about how we live and act and how we interact. And praise God. And when situations come up, how we react to those situations, it's important. Amen. I know nobody else does. I have to remind myself all the time, Brother Jeff. The Bible says patience is a virtue. It's a virtue.
Amen.
Amen. Here I go putting you in with me. I don't have a lot of patience. Amen. I have to work on my patience. I'm not a patient person. But I have to think of this, and I said, well, you know what? Jesus was patient. I was talking to another fellow that other day. Me and him was working, and he was, he was getting. And I thought, you know what? I used to do that. I mean, everything wasn't going just exactly right, and he was getting frustrated. He was getting all tore up, saying a few things that he shouldn't say. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, hold on. And that's what I told him. I said, you know what? The Bible teaches us that patience is a virtue. And he looked at me, and if looks could kill Brother Bill, I'd have been dead and buried. I would have. I'd have been dead and buried. But I said, no, I'm serious. Getting frustrated over this is not going to help it go together any better. All it's going to do is make you anxious, more anxious, and it's going to make me anxious, and it's just going to make the situation worse. I just shut my eyes. I said, Lord, we need you to help us here. We got a situation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I, when I got done, he was standing there looking at me like I'd lost my mind. But you know what we did? We took that thing and we slid it up in there and we stuck the bolts in it and it was good to go. And we had fought that thing and wrestled it for several minutes. But when we calmed down, amen. And we asked the Lord to help us. I told you before many, many times. I don't know how many times they've called me in at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. This machine's down and boss man said, we got to get it up and go. We got to have this product. And I'd get in my old truck and I'd head down to the plant. And Brother Chris can probably tell you the same thing. And I said, Lord, you help man make this thing. And God, if you'll help me when I get there, just show me what's wrong. And then you'll fix it. And I've walked in there, and I've walked over to the machine, I've opened the cabinet out, and right there'd be a relay just smoked. A wire burning too. Amen. Loose connection. Boy, I take and snug her up, change whatever I need to do, and throw the switch, and that thing come on just a humming. And I'd say, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because God's still on the throne. God's still doing things, praise God. And when we don't have a form and we have the real thing, we can put our faith and trust in Him. He makes that difference, praise God. When we have that commitment, it shows that true faith, that true religion, that pure religion shows a commitment to Him. You say, preacher, how do we know whether we got that commitment or not? James tells us about that commitment. He tells us what we got to have in order to have a commitment to Jesus. Amen. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. He says this in verse number 6. But he giveth more grace. Amen. How much do you need? He says, because, listen to this, because God said he had more. Amen. James said, he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. Sometimes we just got to put pride behind us and say, Lord, I can't, but I know you can. Help me, Jesus. Talking to a fellow today, and we was talking about that. I said, sometimes, I said, Miss G says all the time, I said, sometimes you just got to shut your eyes and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. And he's promised he'd never not be far away. Amen. But he said, but God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Sometimes we just have to have a little humility. Amen. Praise God. He said, that's what pure religion is. It's coming before God. It's seeking the grace of God. It's having humility in our life. It's putting away pride. Hello? Amen. Have we cleaned our plow already? Amen. All of us. Praise God. But he says in verse number 7, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. A commitment. He said, we have to make a commitment. The pure religion means a commitment to Christ Jesus. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. In other words, when we take a stand, we say, the devil, I ain't going that way no more. Amen. I ain't gonna pitch my little fits. I'm not gonna act like I did. I'm gonna change the way I live. I'm gonna change the way I act. I'm gonna change the way I react. So things is gonna be different around here. And devil, you're just going down the road because you're not welcome no more. I'm not gonna partake of your shenanigans anymore. Amen. He said, resist it. Just put up a resistance. Hey, listen, I told that fellow I talked to, I said, I'm no match for the devil. Amen. I know what the devil can do. I've seen his tactics. I'm no match for the devil. But my Savior is. He's already overcome the devil. He said, but if we resist the devil, he will. Didn't say he might, he could, or he would, praise God. He said, he will flee from you. Whoever thought you and me, praise God, could put the devil on down the road. Amen. Praise God. You say, preacher, how do I do that? Well, like Miss G says, just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Light shines, praise God. He don't like light. He runs back in the dark. Verse number 8, he tells us how we accomplish. He said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He said, get to thinking upon God and godliness. And God Almighty will begin to bless us, praise God, as only God can bless us. So Paul says what we need is, we need not to have a form of godliness, but we need to have the real thing. Amen? Hey, some things we got to be real careful with, pure religion. Amen? Because pure religion day, it opposes modernism. Are you hearing me? We get so caught up in modernism, and I mean modernism's good. But I want to ask you, what has modernism got us? I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about all these things that we have to make our lives so much better. I said, well, when I was a kid, my mama had an old Ringer washing machine set out on the back porch. She'd carry hot water, dump into it, and she'd wash the clothes, then she'd run them through that Ringer, run the old soapy water out over there, put in fresh water, rinse them out, run them through the Ringer, take them, hang them on the clothesline. Didn't have no super nuker to cook the food in. She had a whole wood stove in the kitchen, and we had us youngins, when we got off the bus, hey, praise God, the woodshed was down next to the road, and if you didn't have your arm full of books, you better get an arm full of kindling. Because you'd want supper in a little while. And we got so far, so engrossed in modernism and the things we have, and we went in so many different directions, so many different ways, that we forgot about what's right, and we forgot about what's important. Amen. I can remember when I was a kid, we'd soak every Saturday, we'd all pile in over at my Grandpa Massey's. It'd be all of dead brothers and sisters. It'd be dozens and dozens of little old youngins running around everywhere. And we'd get together for an hour or two and just have a good time of fellowship. Amen. But now that we have all these modern conventions, all the modernism of the world, praise God, we don't have time to get together and just enjoy fellowship like we used to do.
Amen.
We got modernism coming out our ears, and we don't have time for the things of God no more. Amen. Daniel said in the last day, Daniel 12, that we'd be running to and fro here and there, chasing after everything in the world. But the only thing we wouldn't be pursuing would be God. Amen. Let me tell you something. You look around tonight, our children, our youngins see that. They see how excited we are about things. God, modernism's crept in and pulled us away from God. But let me tell you one thing, everything changing around us all the time, but there's one thing I can tell you for surety that's never going to change, and that's God Almighty. Amen. He's the same. Yesterday and forever. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only thing modernism, praise, will get us is those conveniences around us. But glory, hallelujah, I want to say modernism don't change God. Amen. He's still God. Praise His name. I'm glad for that, ain't you? Amen. He didn't change for our forefathers. Amen. He ain't going to change for me and you, and He going to change for our youngins. He's going to be God. Praise God. And as long as Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever, I'm going to believe it, ain't you? Amen. Modernism. It opposes pure religion. Something else that opposes pure religion this evening is worldliness. Amen. Now, worldly, that literally means world-likeness or the likeness of the world. There's a lot of things in this world that we like, don't we? Amen. It's part of that modernism. You can't separate from it. It's like the old devil keeps giving us more and more things that we like. Just keeps getting bigger and better. It's like a circus. Hey, you know, Ringling Brothers used to say, we're bigger and better every year. And we get caught up in modernism. We get caught in a worldliness. And we start chasing after those things, praise God, that this world has to offer. Amen. A world likeness. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And this is where we get in trouble. Verse number 14, he said, But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. Hanging out with the folks that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or with an unbeliever? There's no relationship. They can't be. Amen? That's why the Bible is so explicit about not being unequally yoked together. Amen. Verse 16 said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise God. Ain't that good? I'm glad, praise God, the Lord lives in us. You are the temple of God. That's why it breaks my heart when I see people getting caught up in all this tattooing and piercing and stuff, because our body, we are the temple of God. You don't put graffiti on a church house. Amen. You don't paint up the church house, praise God, unless you're putting a good coat of paint, praise God, to protect it. God help us. We ought to know better. But he says this in verse 17. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye, you, us, separate, saith the Lord. Now this ain't coming from Pastor Jeff. This is the Lord speaking. That's L-O-R-D. He said, touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Amen. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Praise God. If He said it, He can do it. He can make it happen, praise God. So when we get away from the modernism, we get away from the worldliness, we separate ourselves unto God, unto Jesus Christ, from the world. It's not a pleasant experience for the flesh. Our flesh got used to this world. Amen?
Amen.
We like the modern conveniences. We like the things that we have. But God Almighty said, if we'll separate ourselves from it, praise God, and separate ourselves unto Him. Praise God. He said, Paul said, it's not a form of religion, a form of godliness. He said, it's just doing what's right. So if we pure religion opposes modernism, it opposes worldliness. Amen. Opposes pure religion. It also pure religion opposes formalism. Formalism, a formal form. Amen. Got to be careful. We got to be careful because we have a form of religion, but it's not a real religion. We get caught up in our ceremonies and our programs. And we're seeing it everywhere. Everybody's setting up new ceremonies. They're setting up new programs and trying to draw a crowd in. And we're missing the mark. Because the ceremonies and the program, it's replacing the zeal and the power of Almighty God. Amen. How God is able to work. Praise the Lord. Formalism, praise God, if we ain't very careful, it takes away the New Testament simplicity of the Word of God. The simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is a simple message of Jesus Christ, a Savior, who was born, lived, died, and rose again. Amen. We ought to be rejoicing in the message. We ought to be rejoicing in the messenger, Christ Jesus, who came and told us, praise God, who lived the volume of the book for us so that we could believe on Him and be saved. Amen. But pure religion, it's opposed by formalism. We've got a form and a fashion, but we're missing the whole thing. Missing the real thing. Praise God. Because of formalism, we've gone away from the doctrine, praise God, and the conviction that the Word of God brings. That biblical instruction that we need. It seems like people today are taking the newspaper and the media and trying to make a new gospel out of it. But what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, that crucified, risen and living, praise God, and sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven to make intercession for you and I. Amen. Not a form and a fashion of godliness, but the real thing. Praise God. The real thing. Amen. We can make it up till we have a form. And a form will be real pleasing to men. I mean, we can get all the guys together and the ladies together and we can begin to talk about things, say, you know, we could do this and that, and other more people would really like that, and it would probably really cause a stir. Amen. It would be pleasing to men. But would it be pleasing to God? I mean, God has He's not after a form and a fashion. He's after the real thing. The New Testament Christianity, the simplicity of it, praise God, not only would it see sinners saved, souls won, but it would bring glory to God. You might say it'd be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. I'd rather be pleasing to Him than anything I know, praise the Lord. Because He is God Almighty. We can win souls. See, folks birthed into the family of God. That's what it's all about. So should we be men pleasers? Or should we be God pleasers? A form and a fashion. Something that looks good. Makes you feel good. But it would bring glory and honor to God. And would it save old sinners? See, that's what Paul would ask. Paul was talking to the Galatians. And he asked them in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10, Paul asked them this. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? He said, who am I trying to persuade? Amen. Who do you think I need to persuade? Do I need to persuade you? Or do you think I ought to try to persuade God? We ain't going to change God. Hello? You try all you want, but you're not going to change God. Paul said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Question mark. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Amen. You know, last time I looked in the mirror, I'm a man. And he said, if I'm all the time running around trying to please me, then I'm not a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I ought to be running around trying to serve Him and be pleasing to Him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. He said, I'll give men something to look to, something to look at. Amen. He said, just as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, they was being bit and they were dying. Moses made the brazen serpent. He put it up on a pole, on a stick. And he said, hey, listen, if you're bitten, just look and live. Amen. Jesus is saying, Paul is saying, we ought to be saying, we just need to, praise God, forget about a form and a fashion and get a hold of pure religion in Christ Jesus our Lord. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, he said, from such turn away. Amen. He said, if you turn away from that, what do you turn to? We need to turn to the real thing. Ask Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life, allowing Him, committing unto Him, and allowing Him to give us direction and have Him go. Because we're not going to persuade God. God is going to persuade us if there's any persuasion done. Amen. And I am persuaded, as Paul would say, I am persuaded. Praise God that He saved me by His marvelous grace, and He's promised that He'd keep me. And that one day He'd call me home to be with Him. That's a promise that we all have. And we need to be passing that out in a liberal fashion. He said, because in the last days there'll be perilous times. All this wickedness is coming at us. And he said, what we need you is just stand, praise God, with a backbone like a saw log and say, you know what? I'm just going to stay with Jesus. I'm just going to keep lifting up my Lord and Savior. I'm just going to keep proclaiming Him. Somebody told me the other day they'd been getting together some men having Bible study at breakfast. Glory, hallelujah. You don't think, praise God, that'd make a difference? That'll change everybody's whole day. Amen. And God, God will get the glory. Amen. One soul at a time. Paul said, this is important. He said, we don't need a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. He said, we need the real thing. Amen. Not modernism or formalism, praise God. But we need a God and a Godwardness that's pleasing to the God of glory, the one that wrote the book. Amen. Praise His holy name.